Let us now turn again to the Word of God in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, that is Psalm 103. And we shall read from verse 12 or verse 11. Psalm 103 from verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And so on, especially from verse 15 to verse 18. As for man, his days are as grass, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. So mercy and righteousness are some of the blessings that are included in the catalog of benefits that the psalmist is praising the Lord for. Mercy and righteousness. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. His righteousness unto children's children. Here are blessings. Here are benefits. Mercy, loving kindness, God's righteousness, that is his faithfulness. He is true to his promises, and not one promise that he has made to his people will fail. But you're asking, surely you'll be asking tonight, are these blessings for me? Do I enjoy them now? Well, we don't have far to go to find out to whom these blessings are, to whom they belong, and that is to those who fear the Lord, those who have reverence toward God, those who worship him in spirit and in truth. The blessing of mercy and loving kindness and righteousness and faithfulness belong to those who fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So those who remember their covenant obligations, those who remember God's commandments, they desire and endeavor to obey God, they desire and endeavor to fulfill their obligations which they have entered into by covenant with that the Lord has made with them. He promises to everyone who comes to him, come unto me, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And those who endeavor to remember, to keep his covenant and remember his commandments to do them, they are the ones that mercy belongs to, that God is faithful to, the faithful and sure covenant mercies of David. So we all know here tonight that the evidence of salvation, the evidence of grace, is in the fact of obedience. If ye love me, the Savior says, keep my commandments. It is not sinless perfection, but it is love deep in the heart for the Savior, which comes to expression by full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. Christ is precious to the soul. Sin is bitter to the soul, and there's a desire and endeavor to take the yoke of Christ, to learn of him and follow him. And in our text, we also see that God's righteousness is to children's children. And that is a wonderful thing, that those who follow the steps of their forefathers or their parents, they follow their steps. They believe like their parents did. Well, they will also enjoy God's mercy. In other words, mercy and faithfulness, these blessings and benefits of God's salvation are offered to generations to come. They're offered to us today, and they're available and offered to children's children. Otherwise, we may be tempted to think that just because we're children of believers, therefore salvation is guaranteed to us. Well, that's not true. The sons of Eli, we have no reason to believe that they were saved. So God's mercy and faithfulness, or his righteousness, is to children's children. And the psalmist summarizes or sums up by saying, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So again, to those who fear the Lord, to those who obey the Lord, to those who remember his commandments, and to those who keep his covenant, God's mercy and righteousness is for them and upon them, and they enjoy it. They enjoy it at present, and they will enjoy it to all eternity. And that is in great contrast with the shortness of man's life. As you know, the psalmist had been speaking of the frailty of man. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That is indeed a comfort to God's people, because the Lord cares for his children, knowing that they are so weak. And that weakness is the very reason, as it were, that he comes to their aid to help them with love and pity toward them. And the psalmist is expanding on that, illustrating that man is weak, or that we ourselves are weak. We are frail because man is a frail creature. Verse 15, the beginning of our text. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. So he illustrates the weakness of man. But contrasts the mercy of God with it. Man's life is short, and so man is weak and frail, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. What a contrast between the shortness of man's life and the mercy of God, which is eternal. And so those are the two points that we want to emphasize tonight. First, the brevity of man's life, and secondly, the eternity of God's mercy. First, the brevity of man's life. Very sad to think of it, but it's very instructive, and we should remind ourselves of it. The brevity of man's life. But secondly, by way of contrast, the eternity of God's mercy. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. First of all, the brevity of man's life. And man's short life, the short life of human beings, is compared to grass. The context, again, is frailty and weakness, feebleness, and what could possibly be weaker than grass? Grass of the field, grass on the lawn. What's weaker than that? The children pluck it up. The mower cuts it down. The sun scorches it. The green grass here now in the summer is turning brown. It's withering away. How quickly it comes to an end. But that's just what man's life is like. As for man, his days are as grass. We find that in Scripture. The psalm that we sang, Psalm 90, verse 5, "Thou carriest them away as with the flood. As with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up." People are like that. They spring forth. Just a few families, and some decades later on, they're a whole nation, as it was with the children of Israel. Flourishing, multiplying, just like the grass. But then we read, in the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Now that's humanity. So just as they multiply, so they are quickly cut down. One generation is succeeded by another. The brevity of man's life. Some may die of natural causes. They wither. Others are prematurely cut down. Their life is shortened so much sooner than was hoped. And so it is in this life. And the psalmist continues, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The beautiful green grass springs up. A few days later, the flowers begin to appear. You can read Spurgeon in his comments on this. He's very vivid in his speaking of we'll use the word buttercups just sprinkling the green grass over the field, so beautiful. But it's just a few days later some storm occurs or the sun scorches and it's all over, it's all gone. And that's describing the vanity of man. He gets power, he gets fame, people applaud him, they celebrate his achievements, and then he does something that people don't like, and they quickly turn on him, the world frowns upon them. They're like shooting stars, they come and go. They're like flowers of the field, flourishing, and then the wind passeth over and it is gone. The wind passes over it. The word can be translated breath, illustrating that it does not take much for the life of man to be extinguished. And it's to speak about a breath, as it were, coming over man and he's gone, is a strongest possible expression that man is essentially weak and frail. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. He's gone. He doesn't exist anymore on the earth. Yes, his body is in the grave, but his soul is not. His soul is in eternity. He's not here anymore. In fact, the body decomposes, returns to the dust, and mixes with the rest of the elements. And to all intents and purposes, he's no more. It is gone. It is not. You see in the margin. And furthermore, and it's even more sad, the place thereof shall know it no more. The things that the person was most conversant with, most familiar with in this life, those things are like strangers to him now. The house he lived in, the house does not, as it were, witness his presence any longer. The cars he drove, the recreations he enjoyed, those things, they don't see that person anymore. The place thereof shall know it no more. There was an interviewer who was trying to find Neil Armstrong, the man that first walked on the moon. And he was surprised that he actually could go to a house that Neil Armstrong lived in when he was in service, and nobody knew that Neil Armstrong had lived there before. The house was up for sale, but no one seemed to care that Neil Armstrong lived there, the first man to walk on the moon. The place thereof shall know it no more. And this is the way it is, not only with ordinary people, but famous people. Apart from those who have made their mark on the earth, for better or for worse. But generally speaking, one generation follows another. The flower of the field flourisheth, but it is scorched and withers away. And other scriptures confirm this. In the chapter we read, Job chapter 14, verse 2, he cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Isaiah chapter 40 speaks of this again. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It is the word of the Lord that believers prize. It is the word of the Lord that gives believers hope. And what is your hope tonight? Your life is quickly passing too, no matter how young you are. You don't know when you will die, but we do know this, that we will die. What is our hope? What do we look forward to? Are we taking the principles and opinions of the world and telling ourselves we live only once, so let's get as much out of this life as possible? Or are we seeking to have a good hope through grace? If we're professing, are we making our calling and election sure? If we're not professing to be God's people, are we seeking the Lord with all our heart? If we don't have Christ for our Savior, then what do we have? There's no hope for those who look only to this world. It's all passing. It's all fleeting. But the Lord is showing us what is eternal and what is lasting, what is everlasting, and that is His mercy. Yes, man's life is brief. It is quickly cut down. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Those who hope in Christ, those who hope in God's mercy, they have a good hope through grace, and it is the mercy of God which is to them, which is from everlasting to everlasting. So we come in the second place to consider that, the eternity of God's mercy. Here is a vast difference, an infinite difference, between the frailty of and brevity of man's life and the mercy of God, which is eternal, the mercy of God, which had no beginning and will have no end. Man's life is fleeting as a flower, but the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. The mercy of the Lord, it is the mercy of Jehovah, the great I Am, the self-existent, eternal, and unchangeable God. And as He is unchangeable, so His mercy is unchangeable. How thankful we should be for that. We are constantly changing, but God's mercy is never changing. Our life is so short, but the mercy of God is to eternity. And this is mercy, which is the expression of His love. Translated elsewhere, as we've said before, loving kindness. One of the best words that could translate this word. The loving kindness of God. It's speaking of an attitude as well as actions. Kindness speaks of activity, tangible benefits that we receive from God, but flowing from His love, the loving kindness of God. And this loving kindness is upon those who fear the Lord. Notice that, verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. It's on them. They enjoy it. They enjoy it at present. They experience daily His loving kindness. It's upon them from above. And every gift that they have is from above and cometh down upon them from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So these are benefits from God, the kindness of God, daily loading us with benefits, which takes us back to the beginning of the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, all the benefits that flows from His love. The loving kindness of God resulting in gift after gift from the God with whom there is no change, no shadow of turning. So you see that the unchangeableness of God is linked with his eternity. Because he is eternal, or rather I should say because he is unchangeable, he is therefore eternal. If he had a beginning, he would be subject to change from not being to being. But because he is unchangeable, he is eternal. He is Jehovah. I am. He does not change. Therefore, he's eternal. And his loving kindness is eternal. It's from eternity. From his love from eternity, all of the gifts and blessings flow down to his people upon them. They experience them daily. So we will include his righteousness as well, and then speak of that eternity, the righteousness of God. What is that? The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. His righteousness is to future generations. His righteousness, as we said earlier, is his faithfulness. The promises of God are sure to his people. They are guaranteed to those who fear him. Why? Because of his righteousness. God is just. He is righteous. And therefore it is impossible, because he's pure and holy and righteous, it is impossible for him to lie. He will fulfill his promises. So when he tells his people, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, we know that he never will, because he is righteous and he is true to his word. So it's bringing before us his veracity, his truthfulness and faithfulness in exercising that covenanted mercy toward his people. And so this is what the psalmist celebrates in another place in Psalm 71, verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. It could be pointing to the righteousness of Christ that he worked out in his obedience and death, but perhaps in the first instance it's speaking of his faithfulness. He is righteous to fulfill his word to his people, and not one thing that he has promised will fail. And so we should be making mention of his righteousness, thanking the Lord that he promises to uphold his people. He has, the Lord Jesus, suffered and died for them, and his death was remembered on the Lord's Day. He purchased their salvation, and that has also secured the grace to enable them to continue on, to press on, to persevere. And that is what we should be thankful for and celebrate, making mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Notice mercy and truth, or mercy and righteousness are connected. And if we consider righteousness as God's faithfulness, that those two graces of God are linked together more than once. For example, Psalm 85, verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. David says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Which brings us again to focus upon for a few more moments that his mercy and righteousness are eternal. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Mercy, loving kindness, which has no beginning, which has no end. The mercy of the Lord is from eternity in the believer's predestination. The mercy of the Lord is to eternity in their glorification. From a, we may say, a past eternity to a future eternity. from election to eternal blessedness. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. Again, just as God himself is. And that's what we sang before. Moses, the man of God, prayed, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And as God is from eternity to eternity, so his loving kindness is from eternity to eternity. As far as our understanding can take us, going back to a past eternity, as far as the understanding can take us to a future eternity and the enjoyment of God's grace and favor to eternity. God has loved his people with an everlasting love, and therefore he drew them in time, and he will uphold them till the end of their days in this world, as short or as long as their life will be, till they breathe their last, and their souls are made perfect in holiness and immediately pass into glory. Goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of their life. As David said, and that includes forgiveness. If the mercy of God and the loving kindness of God will continue to follow them, so will forgiveness. The pardon that the Lord Jesus purchased for them is that which can never be revoked. He has purchased their redemption. They are delivered from condemnation. Jesus said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." That will never be reversed to all eternity. And they are daily receiving forgiveness every day, as they sin every day, and they fail continually. They're daily receiving forgiveness from the fountain that will never run dry. It is the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And that fountain was provided in the purpose of God from eternity. And that forgiveness, as long as they're here in this world, as long as they're sinning, that will constantly be available for them. For God has perfected forever them that are sanctified, and the blood is washing them daily. And so, friends, we're to go to the blood continually to receive forgiveness. Forgiveness again and again. The Lord tells his people that we should forgive one another. How many times? Peter says 7 times. Perhaps that's more than enough. The Lord Jesus says, no, I tell you 7 times 70 or 70 times 7. That's how many times. Unlimited. There's no end to the forgiveness that by which we should forgive others when they are repenting. And so if we're confessing our sin, if we're endeavoring to forsake our sin, there's no limit to God's forgiveness, because his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It is mercy that will never end. And we are receiving mercy all our days. We're to be looking to Jesus, looking to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, says Jude, as we heard on Monday. There was a man, I think a Puritan, on his deathbed, a godly man who had no doubt been very holy and useful. And his friend said to him, "Sir, you are about to receive the reward for your labors." And this godly dying man said, "Friend, I'm about to receive mercy." It was mercy that saved him, mercy that helped him. It is mercy that will bring him through death, and it is more mercy that he will receive. It is mercy from beginning to end. It is the mercy of God which had no beginning and no end. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And all of this mercy and loving kindness, friend, is offered to you tonight again. This loving kindness, the gifts of God's love, is offered to you. It's available. It was offered to you last week. It was offered to you during the communion. It is offered to you again this evening. What is your response to it? What is your reaction to God's mercy, which is revealed and offered to you? Will you receive the mercy of God in Christ? Will you lay hold of it? Will you be like Peter and say, Lord, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and thy mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And that is what I desire above all things. Oh, Lord, cause me to experience thy mercy and love which is in Christ. He is calling you. Come, for all things are now ready. May he bless his word. Let us pray.